How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, January 17th. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
My vision is not 2020.
That's a shame. I'm here to tell you, I recommend it. Also with me today, well, I didn't have it before, and then I had my eyeballs lasered, and now there are 2020, and it's fantastic.
See, that's what I want.
Yeah, you do. I'm here to say. Also with me today, the very clearly entertained Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. Happy Friday.
I'm glad to know it is. As you may remember, Charlotte comes to us from the future, so she's here to tell us that Friday is lovely. And Charlotte, I actually want to start with you because you wrote an editorial yesterday about Safari.
Sucks.
I'm glad I didn't characterize it as a love note then. So air your grievances, my dear.
When I got my Mac Mini, I started using Safari.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Let's test it out. Has it got any better? I've used Chrome. I've used Firefox. I've tested a few. But I was like, new computer. Let's use the Apple inbuilt default browser for a little bit. Turns out, still sucks.
Okay.
And also, there's a number of issues I have had. For example, on a number of websites, many that I use every day, I get a little message being like, this website is using a lot of computer memory, please, maybe restarting will save your computer, kind of thing. Like, it's saying that the website is affecting my computer's performance.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
It is. Well, it's ridiculous, right, that a website would do that. Like, there's fault on both sides here, to be fair.
Right, but So this was irritating me so much that I moved to Chrome. Don't twitch, Andrew. We'll come to it.
Okay.
And then none of those problems happened.
Okay.
It all just worked fine. However, the annoying thing is, obviously, Safari on your Mac and Safari on your iPhone sync beautifully. You can sort of throw things from one device to the other and it all works lovely. But Apple does not allow you to set Chrome as your default browser in your iPhone. I will, at some point next week, write some tips about how to essentially use Chrome as your default browser. There are some ways to work around it. But, for example, if you click on a link in your email, it will automatically default to Safari on your phone. Mm-hmm. For instance, whereas of course on a computer you can set a different default browser.
Yes.
But my point generally is, why has Apple, a company that can do basically anything, still not managed to make a browser that works nicely on its own devices?
You know, this, like, is the thing I've wondered about, and
there is no excuse for Apple to be making a crummy browser.
There's
just
really not.
Isn't.
Yes. Part of what I've seen from this is that there are a few reasons that sometimes you go to a website and it says, like, I don't know what browser you're using, but it's not, you know, Chrome or Firefox or something, and you should be using that instead. And generally that's because Chrome is a popular enough browser. Sorry, Andrew, I know you're twitching right now. That And Google dictates some of its own standards. Like, there's stuff that only works in Chrome. Like, if you do something so that it works in Chrome, it will not work in another browser. And that's really frustrating, because the whole reason the web exists and can work is because there are standards that at some point everybody agreed to. So it's kind of frustrating when you end up against those sort of parameters. The problem I always have with Safari is, like you said, Charlotte, the memory errors. Like, when you said you were writing this because you were mad at Safari, I remember asking, what did you do, Charlotte? Open, like, three tabs at once?
Actually, it was two.
So, like, I have always found Safari to be really hard to use if I have a single digit number of tabs open. We've talked about my tab Correct. Habit on iOS. But so, I'm talking about Mac OS, like specifically. If I have four sites open, Safari is A, chewing on my processor, B, firing off the thing that says, your computer's running really hot because it's doing a ton of work. There should be fans running right now. And like, and this is more than one computer. This is more than one operating system. Like, I've done the work. I don't know what it is that I'm doing to Safari that makes it so unhappy, but it's so unhappy.
Oh, what you did was open Safari. Do you remember when Bob Levitis was on, him and I were on the show not so long ago?
Yes.
I think either on air or off air, I raised this issue with him. And he was like, yeah, it happens. Close the browser, should clear things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's obviously, because he's Bob, he's right. Yes. That does clear things. My point is, it is ridiculous that Apple is producing a product that needs that.
Well, it's also a short-term solution. Like, that works for this time, but, you know, in an hour or so, I'm going to have to do it again.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I want to emphasize, like, I'm using a fairly pretty new computer, pretty powerful computer. Okay, it's an i5 chip. It's using very fast broadband. This should not be happening. But, yeah. You know, my point is, it's not my setup. It is the software.
Well, and I think, you know, as I said, we've talked about Kelly's tab situation on iOS, and on iOS, Safari is fine.
Correct.
That's the thing that's really frustrating to me about this, is that I can open literally 500 tabs in Safari. I know, because I tried to open 501. It gave me a warning and said, you can only have 500. What are you going to do? And it's an actual dialogue box that pops up and says, yeah, there, you can only have 500. And Safari doesn't care.
What do tabs even look like?
You know what two tabs looks like? Do that 250 times. It's like on iOS, it's flawless. And so if I open, like I said, five tabs on Mac OS, like Safari is bringing my laptop to its knees. And it's crazy to me how, you know, it's supposed to be the same and they're very, very, very different experiences. And yeah, if for all the people worried about macOS and iOS merging, this is the one I want them to merge. I want the good version of Safari on my computer, because clearly the one that's there is not the good one. Now, Andrew, I know you're going to have some things to say about this. I don't know if you are Team Safari, but Charlotte did mention that
DuckDuckGo.
She did mention that she moved to Chrome, and I know, if nothing else, I know you have some thoughts about that.
Well, I actually have the opposite experience, so I don't think I've had any significant problems with desktop Safari, but lately I have had some issues with mobile Safari, and I think it's an iOS 13 issue. Like, for example, I can't really pin it down, but because this has happened with multiple websites, but occasionally I'll be reading an article, say, in like my RSS app, and then I'll tap it or swipe to go to load it into Safari. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it will just freeze and not load at all. So then I go back, tap the link again, and then the second time, then there will be a little message at the top that says something like, there was a problem with the web page, we had to refresh it or something like that.
Yeah.
And I've had that happen multiple times, so it is annoying.
I haven't had that happen on open Safari. But I've had it happen, like, there's something on the web page that takes a while to load, and then it finally loads and something goes wrong with it. So I'm, like, halfway reading through the thing on the page that I wanted to read, and all of a sudden the page reloads. This page was reloaded because of a problem. Now you tell me. And then when it refreshes, it's at the top of the page. I'm like, great, now I lost my place on top of everything else. I have had that happen every once in a while, but it's not been the worst thing. Like, at least on iOS, for me, it hasn't been too big a problem. There's one website where it happens more than most, and I just started avoiding reading stuff on that website and getting it from a different source. So that seems to happen.
But this is... So, the one concern I have about Chrome, and I think, Andrew, this is what Andrew's kind of rolling his eyes at me about. Is there a
one of the things? One of the things he's rolling his eyes at you about.
Fair. Obviously, there are privacy concerns when it comes to Chrome. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yep. Need I say more?
No. Like, we all know this. We all know that Google is tracking your life wherever you go. And it was actually one of the reasons I moved back to Safari, because I trust it much better with privacy.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just behaves horribly. And the truth is, I use a lot of Google services already. Right. You know, most of my email accounts are run through Google. I use YouTube. There's some plugins that are only available. For example, actually, this is another reason I got fed up with Safari. I use a Send to Kindle plugin because mm-hmm. sometimes I like to send articles I'm reading to my Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist in Safari.
Oh.
Yeah, turns out Amazon and Apple don't play nice. Who'd have thought?
What?
Anyway. But, so yes, I know there are privacy concerns, but my point is, you know, I can do stuff to protect my privacy, and I do.
Mm-hmm.
But the privacy concerns are, in my opinion, and this may be a naive opinion, outweighed by the convenience I get.
Well, that's a trade that everybody has to make.
Correct.
So, and the problem, excuse me, I was a Chrome user until very recently, and part of that was because, again, more than four tabs, and then I realized I was I would sign out, like I was signed out of Chrome. I don't sign in. I don't sync anything anywhere, and I noticed it was signing me in, and so I signed out, and every time I came back to it, it was signing me in. And weird stuff would happen because it would sign in more than one account. So I took all the accounts out of Chrome. And then finally it was like, I cannot work because I have to be signed into something. And I went and looked. Aww. And I'm like, why are you doing this to me? And Chrome has made that change recently where if you use Chrome, you must be signed into a Google account, whatever that is. And there are times when I don't want to be signed into a Google account. And Google does not like that, and I don't need it anymore. So, no, it has to be a Google account. It wouldn't let me, and so I was like, I'm done. And so now I'm using the new version of Firefox. I have a stack of windows. Each window has a stack of tabs. Nothing cares. It doesn't turn on my fans. All my pages are loading like they should. So far, it's great.
Interesting. And I was sort of, you know, thinking about Firefox as well. The thing is, being signed... Look, I totally get what you're saying, but actually, the truth is I'm kind of happy to be signed into Chrome because mm-hmm. I'm using a load of Google products anyway. Right. So,
yeah, as an Android user, you had a Google account already that was doing a bunch of stuff for you in the first place, and I know you still have a Chromebook.
I've always had a Gmail account, so...
Yeah.
Like, millions and millions and millions of people out. I have a Gmail account. I have work accounts that are run through G Suite.
Right.
Look, we can't pretend. None of us can pretend we don't use Google products all day, like a lot of the time in the day.
Right.
We just do.
Right.
So,
but as a person with an account that you were using on an Android device, you're using a little more of those services than like somebody who has an iCloud email address. Is very different from somebody who has an iCloud email address that they sign in on an iPhone with. Like, if you're on an iPhone, you're using more of that service. So that's all I meant, was like, you are a user of more Google services in more ways than I am. Because I don't have an Android device.
And nor do I. But I, I have used Android devices in the past. I do have a Chromebook that I kind of use for typing and streaming and stuff. But the truth is, but I had a Gmail account long before that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And look, the thing I'm not particularly here to stand up for Google because, you know, I'm happy to just, but I think we all like to pretend that it's only Google that wants you to use its services and like makes its products better with its services.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think we could all find examples, for example, of Apple services that work better when you're using other Apple products.
Oh, surely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem at all.
And so, yeah, and that's why I'm at Chrome. And Apple, make a browser that works. Thank you. Happy weekend.
So, Andrew, do you use... You're mostly using Safari. Do you use anything else?
No. I did used to use Firefox. Okay. And see, that's the thing. I only bite my thumb at Chrome. Firefox, like, you can do things in there that you can't do with Safari. Like, for example, you can go into, you know, your about config settings, mm-hmm. and there are little switches and things you can do there to turn certain things off, for example, that you can't do with Safari.
Right.
So I would say maybe in that area, Firefox is a little bit more tweakable, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you desire a higher level of control, Firefox is where it's at.
Yeah. I guess I kind of make the same trade-off, similar to Charlotte does. For me, Safari is very convenient. I mean, everything, like all my tabs, iCloud tabs, all my bookmarks, they all sync between all my devices. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I could do that with Firefox if I made an account, but I would also have to, you know, download and use Firefox on mobile, mm-hmm. which would be a pain because you can't set the default browser on iOS. Yeah. So every yep. link that you tap will go to Safari.
Yeah, that is the deficiency
I'm having at the moment.
Yeah, that is the deficiency on iOS that I also don't like. I think I would dislike it more if I were having any issues, like fundamental issues with Safari on iOS. But I totally but yeah, if I wanted to use a different browser, it should be up to me on my phone just like it is on my computer. So I yep. totally get that. I think, Charlotte, I seem to recall that a couple people gave you recommendations for other browsers, so I look forward to finding out if you try out anything else and really like it.
There's one called Brave Browser, I think. I'm going to give that a test as well.
Yeah.
I like to have multiple browsers running anyway, just to, like, test things.
Yeah, it's always a good idea. At least for what we do most of the time, it's a good idea to have another browser to point at it in case something's weird. So, definitely. Thank you, Charlotte, for your thoughts on Safari.
Thank you. I feel so much better now.
Do you? Okay. That's important. We're also, today, we're going to try something new here on Daily Observations, and it's part of why Andrew is here today. We're going to do a segment on Fridays that will eventually get a better name than this, but for right now, we're just calling it Security Friday, and... We're going to talk a little bit about some of the security news of the week as it relates to Apple users. And depending on the week, we may have a tip for you if you as an actionable item, a thing that you can do to help make yourself more secure. Nothing, no massive undertakings, small little things that are easier to do. So, Andrew, what do you have for us in security news this week?
Yeah, I wrote a couple of security things this week. The first one is that police in Scotland can now use these devices to extract smartphone data. They call them cyber kiosks. Now, I don't know who makes these devices, if it's Cellebrite or maybe another company, Graykey, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And of course, that is an argument into this renewed FBI versus Apple thing, because the FBI... They're claiming that Apple didn't give them enough help, or at least the Department of Justice is saying that. Mm-hmm. Apple provided them with iCloud data, and of course they can't open the iPhones.
Right.
But other companies can, like mm-hmm. the cyber kiosks, or like I said, Cellebrite.
Yeah. So that's... And, like, we've seen this before, and Apple... Like, Apple is almost sort of set things up this way for a reason. Like, Apple doesn't want to get in the middle of any of this. And so, you know, like, they don't know, they don't want to know. And I seem to recall that last time this happened, where it was a big deal, the problem was the password had been changed on the iCloud account or something. And so, like... And since then, the phone hadn't been backed up, so they wanted the most recent data, and all Apple had was, like, a previous iteration of it. Like, they couldn't give them the most recent data because they didn't have it. So it wasn't a matter of, like, we have it and we won't share it with you because we don't like you or anything like that. Like, it was just, we don't have it. We gave you what we could give you. And if you don't like what you got, I'm sorry, but that's all we have. So this is getting... this one is getting a little bit more attention because it looks like what's happening now is that there's a couple of other organizations that are standing behind Apple in this with because also the FBI, I think what's happening now is that the FBI wants Apple to make a version of iOS that's less secure, and then they want to put this phone data on it or something and be able to get into it and do whatever they want. And I think the ACLU is in on, no, we're not doing that. That's not cool. So
ACLU and EFF.
And EFF. That makes sense. Those are the folks, and those are folks who know what they're talking about, which helps. You know, it's to me, it's always better when somebody really knowledgeable comes out and says something. Even if I don't agree with them, at least I know that they've done the research. Maybe they came to a different conclusion, but at least I can sort of trust them that they're not going off half-cocked. And that's that's kind of a good, it's a good thing to know. So I'm glad that the ACLU and EFF are in on this, because those are some organizations that do know a thing or two about security and privacy and folks being online. So that's good. Now, like I said, we may have a tip for people on Fridays. And I think, do you have a solid security tip for people, Andrew?
Well, it's not really a tip, but it is an app. So speaking of Google, this might be something Charlotte is interested in. They updated their Smart Lock app on iOS, and now iPhones can be used as two-factor authentication keys. It does sound like there's some limitations. It looks like it will only work if you're using Chrome on the desktop.
You're making me sound like an Apple phone fanboy. I mean, a Google fanboy.
Well,
behave yourself.
But yeah, so the thing with Google is that you can set up two-factor authentication that doesn't use the Smart Lock app, but you first have to give Google your phone number, which I obviously didn't want to do.
Yeah.
So I gave them this disposable phone number, and then I was able to use a different method. Like a popular app for stuff like that is Authy for you to get one-time passcodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've used Authy a little bit, and I like it a lot. I don't have it for a ton of accounts, but anywhere that I'm able to use it, I use it, and it's very handy. It's exactly the right trade between security and convenience, because you have to do a little bit, but it's not a ton, and it works really well, and it's super secure. So it's worth it to have a tiny little bit of extra step you have to go through with the Authy app in order to do it. So it's pretty great.
But what is interesting, though, I don't know if apps like Authy do this, but a Google cryptographer says that their Smart Lock app makes use of Apple's secure Enclave chip.
Okay.
So I think that gives it maybe a little extra security.
Yeah. It generally means that if somebody else gets your phone, they can't get into that just by unlocking your phone. They have to have secure enclave access. So, better than nothing. Excellent. So that's going to do it for Security Friday. If you have tips for us, or if you have news that you think maybe we should be talking about on Security Friday, or if you have an idea for a better name, you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. That's going to do it for us today. I want to thank both of you for being here. Charlotte Henry, thank you so much for coming by.
Please tell Andrew I'm not speaking to him.
All right. Andrew, Charlotte isn't speaking to you, but she does hope you have a happy weekend, as do I.
I don't know Charlotte anymore, but thanks for having me.
Oh, goodness. Well, Daily Observations has escalated quickly. Okay. Thank you both for being here. I will talk to all of you on Monday. Have an excellent weekend. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.